Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spock.
Chris Bachman hanging out with the boys with the three-time regional champion Beale City Aggies. Got Coach Ancliffe with me, Josh Wilson, Jack Fussman. What, Caden's getting a haircut, you said, Brad? Let's give him a little guff. Well, I guess it's better than being around this guy. Well, you know, Saturday, pretty darn dominant. I'll start with you, Brad. Was that a surprise to you how dominant you guys were this Saturday?
No, I mean, I thought we played really good baseball. We pitched it up well. You know, we got a little bit of a scare from Merrill, and I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call, and these guys responded well on Saturday.
Yep. Josh, what about you?
No, we came to play exactly how I thought we would. We were ready. Early or not, we were going to be there and ready to play.
I think you guys were a little bit more awake than I was on that, you know, that early Saturday morning. I think it was you guys passed me one time. I passed you guys another time. I think I stopped at, you know, the Subway and saw you guys pass me again. Jack, were you surprised how dominant you guys were on Saturday?
No, I thought we kind of had the wake-up call against Maryland. I thought we were going to be ready to play, and we were. Pitchers threw strikes, played clean in the field, and we swung the bats well. So I'm glad we were able to take care of business.
Now, playing in the rain. You guys had to play in the rain some that second game. For me, as the broadcaster, it turns into, all right, make sure everything's covered up, this, that, and the other. But for you guys, do you enjoy that, or would you rather have it be sunshine? Is there still that little kid that wants to go sliding in the mud kind of thing?
Not really, you know. My perfect baseball weather is probably about 75, 80 and sunny. Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan of the rain, but sometimes you just got to make the best out of what you're dealt with. So,
yeah, Josh, you agree with him?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What about you, Brad? I say you're out there in the rain.
I was praying it didn't rain because we have Smitty on the bump. And we had everybody ready to go just in case we did have to have some delays and stuff like that. So all guys, all hands on deck, we're ready to pitch. And, you know, that's our philosophy. It's the next guy in. Let's go.
Jack, I'm going to ask you to cheese on a couple of your teammates here, and I don't think you're going to mind doing that. We'll talk about Caden in a minute. But, Josh, two dingers, 10 RBI, a double, a triple. Is that the most dominant day you've seen from the big guy?
I would have to say so, especially with the game he threw on the mound. I mean, getting it done.
Yeah, I left that out. Yeah.
On the bump and at the plate, that's huge, especially in a regional final game and a quarterfinal game.
Yeah, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, kid swung it, and he just flat out
and
swung
it. Is that the best day you've seen from one kid at the plate, 10 RBI?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I remember Justin Schar. We played Sacred Heart here in the districts 100 years ago, and he was 3-for-3 with three home runs. It's you have a day. I mean, it's a beach ball coming in, and Josh had a day, and that was the spark we needed. And, you know, we were just trying to push runs across to limit our pitching. They did a great job of that.
Yeah, Josh, kind of what goes through your mind when I bring up that day for you, man, other than the big smile on your face?
I mean, yeah, like Brad said, it looked like a beach ball just coming in there. So
all three of you guys have been in that zone before at the plate. What's, you know, there's a Diana Taurasi talking about being in the zone, and she says, I can't describe it. He said, you're just out there. You're just out there. Is that kind of the same feeling at the plate of there's just nothing going on in your mind? You're just out there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your approach kind of just goes to the back of your head, and you just see ball and hit ball, and you just trust it.
Jack?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you're not even thinking at that point. You just, when you go up to the plate, you expect to catch a barrel every time when you're in a zone like that.
What about you, Brad?
Yeah, absolutely. The ball is, you know, it finds every hole that it possibly can for you, and you square up every pitch. And, you know, we talked a lot after Wednesday of, you know, our two-strike approach, and Josh had an absolute missile down the right field line and for the triple, and that was a great two-strike approach. He just punched the ball to the right field and got good barrel on it. So that's the big thing that I see changing is we're getting better at our two-strike approaches and punching the ball around the infield.
You guys also did a really good job. There was six or seven times at the plate where you guys took a pitch on two strikes, where me, just that, you know, the little squirrely idiot guy, I'd have trouble doing that up there. It's, I feel like that, you know, kind of has to go with the approach too of be patient. You know, you don't want to see the game end on a called strike three, but if you're up there in the middle of the game, you got to work that count, correct?
Oh, absolutely. But we also don't want to be standing there taking strike threes. You know, that's our biggest thing is we can't get behind the count and we need to attack early, and these guys did a great job of that on Saturday. But they've had decent two strike approaches all year, and Saturday was, they did a great job.
Saturday as I'm driving home, thinking about, you know, Josh here, player of the game, player of the day, and all that stuff. And then I kind of thought, man, I just kind of omit Smitty sometimes, almost like Logan Borodichuk, you know, these past couple years in football. He throws for 250 yards, and I give the MVP to the wide receiver, you know, caught two passes for 100 yards. Struck out 14 on the mound. I'm real curious to hear your opinion on this, Brad. I've seen Lazier, both Butchkowskis, Ty Rowland, Martin Mindell. I've seen some really good arms in my 10 years or so of doing high school baseball in the mid-Michigan area. And again, you could talk about the competition with Lazier and Butchkowski and stuff, but I think Caden's the best I've seen, man. What about you?
He's definitely dominant, and there's not a lot of teams that want to face him. The biggest thing that Caden's done this year is he's kept his pitch count down. He's letting these guys play defense behind him, whereas before I felt like he needed to strike everybody out. These guys are playing great defense behind him, and that's what he needs to understand is, you know what? Let him put the ball in play. You don't always have to throw at 90. If you throw 84 and it's there and they hit it and we make a play for you, that's even better.
Jack, what about you, man? How dominant he's been? And all the pitchers that you've gone up against, I imagine every once in a while you see him in practice or, you know, some type of live game action. Is he the toughest pitcher that you faced?
Yeah, I would definitely have to say so. Because, I mean, other guys have velo, but very few have the stuff and location that he has to go along with it, too.
Yeah, I feel like he hits that low strike zone unlike anybody else, because a lot of people don't have the gas to hit that low strike zone. But when he's doing it at 88, 90 miles an hour, it's tough to catch up with. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's really dominant. It's nice to have him on your team, is something to say. And he's got, when he's got the speed to just throw it by everyone, that's one thing, but he's got off speed that he can locate everywhere and get kids off balance with.
Now, in practice or, you know, live pitching action, have you guys ever really, you know, laced one on him, set one over the fence or anything like that, Josh?
No.
What about you, Jack?
I mean, I've put a couple in play.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about that low strike, and that's a good testament to Jake. We've worked on that a lot of, you know, receiving that low strike and pulling it up into the zone, not taking it out of the zone. And Caden's, you know, doing a great job of throwing low strikes, but Jake's actually doing a pretty good job of bringing it up into the zone, so it's even looking more like a strike. So that's a testament to him, too.
We'll start with you on this one, Josh. Three straight trips to the state championships for baseball. When I say that to you, what's that mean to you, man?
Dominance. We've just been playing our kind of baseball, trusting ourselves, and it's just something that no one else in Beale can say that they've done before, so it's just something to be proud of.
By you, Jack.
Regional titles are something that, you know, most teams are super pumped about, and just recently it's kind of been the expectation for this group. So I think that speaks a lot about how we've played. And, I mean, even when you're one of the top teams to come out in playoffs and prove it every game is another completely different thing.
Brad, when I say that to you, three straight trips, man, what do you think?
Our thing this year has been be legendary, and these guys have a shot to be the team. Three states, final appearances if they can get a win on Friday to go to the state championship game again. No team here has done that. That's their goal. That's the goal of this program. This program's never going to change. We always want to finish the season in East Lansing. That won't matter if it's this year or 10 years from now. As long as I'm here, that's our goal. And these guys have stepped up to that goal. You know, we got one more to get to the state championship game, and that's our goal, win that next game.
Yeah, we'll talk with Jake Johnston here in a minute, the varsity softball coach. You guys, I know I saw you, Josh, and Brad. You make it to the game, Jack, Sunday?
Yeah.
What was that environment like for you guys? They end up winning 11-8, first ever regional championship for softball. What did you guys think about that game?
Beale definitely showed out. There was a bunch of people there. It was a back-and-forth game. Really exciting, and I'm glad for them.
Josh?
Very cool. Yeah. Something they've worked for.
What about you, Brad?
You know, it's super awesome to see that both teams are still playing. You know, Jake's done a great job with the softball program since he has taken it over. Girls hit the ball well. That game just looked like it was going to be 21-20. Macy Johnson stepped up and pounded the strike zone. They made some plays behind her, and three home runs, four home runs, how many of the three home runs they hit. I mean, the girls are hitting the ball, and let's hope it continues tomorrow in the quarterfinals for them, because we'd love both teams to be down in East Lansing.
Yep, I'd love for two games on Friday and Saturday, and you guys still got some work to do. Brad, Jack, Josh, thank you guys so much for catching up with me, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've got legal questions and you don't know what to do, my attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Hi, this is Joe Barbary. Here's a motor vehicle accident tip. If you've been injured in an auto accident, you don't have to go to Detroit to get the best legal team to represent you. Myself and my staff have been doing auto accidents in the Central Michigan area for over 30 years. Most people I know don't want to drive 150 miles to meet with somebody that they've never met before. If you retain us at Barbary Law, you'll meet with an attorney face-to-face, and you'll be minutes away from doing so. So keep that in mind. If you're injured or, God forbid, a loved one is injured or killed in a motor vehicle accident, contact Barbary Law and we'll take care of you.
My attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Chris Bachman now hanging out with Jake Johnston, softball coach for Beale City Softball. After talk with the Aggie boys, they're into the state semifinals Friday at 9 a.m. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. or today at 1 p.m. if you're listening on Tuesday. The girls play at CMU state quarterfinal game and was the first ever regional championship victory. When I say that to you, Coach Johnston, what's the first thing that comes to mind, man?
Oh, it's just super special and well-deserved. Our girls have worked hard. There's been, I said to you yesterday, there's been so many great teams and players that come through here. It's mind-blowing that that's the first regional. But we're happy. We're not content. We're ready to go. And we're watching that regional up north today to see who we play still.
And you guys actually played Saturday, too. You guys mercied Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary. It seems kind of seemed like that game is ages ago to you, doesn't it? But what do you remember about that contest?
They have a pitcher that's pretty solid, but we hit solid pitching. That's the one thing I was a little bit nervous about. St. Pat's, the young lady, didn't throw quite as hard, and we seem to tune it up when when the pitching speeds up. That's our thing. So I know that if we see Holton tomorrow, they've got a young lady that throws hard. We'll be ready for it, man.
And Sunday, what was more dramatic to you, the Sacred Heart 11-inning thriller or this back-and-forth game for a regional championship? I guess they were both for a trophy, man. That's the two insane games you guys have had here lately.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. They're both great games.
And, you know, I feel like Sacred Heart adds a little something, but then since it was for the first ever regional title with Portland St. Pat's, that adds something to it. But just how much fun were those games? Let's put it that way.
They were a ton of fun, and I like the way that yesterday's game actually had a conclusive end with a strikeout, and we weren't wondering if they were going to reverse a call or if there was a timeout or any of that jazz. So, yeah, elated feeling, super happy. Happy for the girls and pumped to get to play at CMU tomorrow.
And now this is kind of more of a baseball thing. I feel like that's came up in the last few years, but I'm curious of your opinion. You know, you don't want a pitcher to see the batting lineup the second time through. Like, that's just kind of become a thing. And softball, like I said, I don't think it's something that's talked about as much, but Macy got stronger and stronger and stronger as that game went on. And it felt to me just like, I don't know if it was her experience, all the work that she's put in, and now she's a senior and she knew it could be her possible last game.
She's a junior.
Oh, she's only part of me. Yeah. That's right. She's part of that class of crazy juniors. Yeah. Eva's the only senior on the team. But like, I felt like the more the moment got bigger, the more intense the game got, she continued, and not talking about what she did at the plate, which was pretty amazing too, but I think she ended up with, 12, 13 strikeouts, and I think 7 or 8 of them came in the last few innings. She just started mowing them down.
Yeah, she threw well, and to be completely honest, it was, I think, the fourth inning, and I was thinking, do I need to make a move? Because they were hitting her, you know, and I didn't know if I had something in our back pocket. Lauren Gross throws harder. She has a crazy screwball when she's in the zone, but it's always a gamble. And I think I just kind of resigned to, she's dealt well for us all year. I was not going to take the ball out of her hands unless things got really crazy and we were in it. You know, we were down 4 at one point, but the way we hit, we can close a 4-run gap really quick. So I felt good with sticking with her, and I was happy to see just the outcome. That's all I care about. I don't care who's in the circle, who's at the bat. We want to win, and so that's the bottom line. If we got to make a move, we make a move, and if it's all gut, you know.
Was she better at the plate or in the circle?
Like
I said, people might see the runs that were given up, but when you get this far, you're playing against powerhouse offenses all over the place, and she said struck out a bunch towards the end.
Yeah.
It's a tough question here for you.
She was really sick all week. The rain out, actually, I think probably helped us because she got a little more sleep, did some more breathing treatment Saturday night, trying to get ready, and she woke up feeling a little bit better Sunday morning. So, and I think the adrenaline helped her for sure as we got going. But, yeah, I was happy to see her hit. She's not hit great this year. 355 was the season total, and for some kids that's great, but that's 130 points lower than she hit as a freshman. So I'm happy to see her produce. We still got a couple of big bats. Emily Taylor has had an incredible year and hasn't gone off in the tournament. If she does, look out, man. Lauren Licari was hitting the ball hard, but right at people. It's another good bat. You know, Lauren Gross had that homer against Sacred Heart. She hit some deep flies yesterday, but, like, we got more in the tank. And so it could get crazy if we all start hitting.
What was the biggest play of the game Sunday to you? Like I said, I've got my pick. I'm curious, you know, what was the biggest play for you?
Man,
like I said, it's hard to pick.
The three strikeouts at the end, we did not need any more stress at that point on our defense, so I was happy to see that. You know, there's one that really wasn't significant, but later in the game, Emily Taylor dove for a ball in the hole to keep it on the infield and kept the girl at third. That, you know, that kept a run from scoring, and I think we got out of that one without giving up any runs. And sometimes it's not the play that results in the out. It's just the effective play. I also would give props. Madison Fisher came in and wreaked some havoc on the base paths early. That girl is just fearless and instinctive. And so those are a couple of big ones. I'm sure I'm forgetting some.
Well, she probably had you kind of like pulling on your, you know, your hair out for a minute there or whatever, but then you're like, yeah, she's too good of an athlete. She knows what she's doing out there, doesn't she?
I never really thought she was going to get out.
But the stuff that I hadn't seen, she's just dancing way off, just daring. Like, and I think she knew if they threw it out to second, she was going to be able to make it to third. If they threw it to third, she was going to be able to make it up.
Yeah, my advice to her was their catcher didn't have a strong arm. So wreak havoc. You know, turn down the fear, get after it, get them to throw the ball away. We'll put some runs on here somehow, some way. So we stole every time we were on first. We were trying to draw something or get a delay when we were at second. So, yeah, we were working it as hard as we could.
I think the biggest play to me was Dakota Dodak's solo shot to put you guys up 9-8. And so, you know,
I was thinking defense when you said play. Yeah,
it's all good either way. But what kept happening in that game for people that weren't able to listen or see it, it was tied. One team took the lead. It got tied again. One team took the lead. It got tied again, back and forth and back and forth. And so then, boom, you guys tie it back up at 8. And the way the game had gone, I'm just ready for it to stay tied at 8. Dakota Dodak has a 3-0 count. You give her the green light, and she sends a blast over the fence to make it 9-8. I felt like at that point, you know, it wasn't relaxing the shoulders. Then you guys got two more, you know, run security runs after that and next inning. But that blast right there, when she sent over the fence to put you guys up 9-8, I felt like, all right, I think they might have this one now with the way Macy's going on the mound later in the game.
Yeah, one thing that's changed in my thinking over the years, I was a, you know, baseball guy forever, so 3-0, nobody swung. But pitchers are trying so hard to throw that ball over the plate at 3-0, you're probably going to get served a good fastball. And the quality of hitters that I have, if I had kids that were hitting 212, we're taking that pitch. You know, in a later game, a situation later in the game, I did give some take signs because the pitcher was struggling. But, yeah, if you, with some of the hitters, I think, I'm not sure if the one Macy hit out was a 3-0 pitch. She had a hit on a 3-0 pitch.
It actually might have been, too. Yeah.
And so I say get greedy. If it's a ball you can hit out, we're going after it. And I like that approach. It hasn't, you know, it's worked out well for us.
Yep. And what was it like on the field Sunday after that win?
It was really cool. Emotional. I'm not an emotional guy. I was tearing up.
Ed Lynch was tearing up a little bit when I brought him on the air with me, too. Because, like I said, he's been here with you the whole time, too, man.
Yeah, I've been, I've told you, Coach Diva, since she was 9 years old, she came to a 10U drillers tryout. And we had her, Macy, Laura, and Lakari. We had, you know, a little group of Beale girls with some girls from Claire and Everett. I have a banner at home you've got to see. From our 9U team. It's got
the names on there.
It's like the who's who of who's in the quarterfinals. Kyra Gray, Allie Thunick, Katie Goslin, all from Everett, Addison McMillan from Claire, Macy, Eva, Lauren. Like, it's a crazy Malia Gardner from Harrison, who's playing at LCC and having a career, you know. So it's super cool memories, and I just love seeing these girls be successful.
Yep, and we're talking Monday about 4 o'clock. You still don't know who you're going to be playing in the next game as that's taken on today. What would you feel if that was you? That's a pretty quick turnaround, isn't it?
It's super quick. I would not have wanted this situation. And I was saying, we got a note today that we have to wear molded cleats on the field at CMU, even though CMU wears steel. So all my girls were racing around today trying to find molded cleats to wear because nobody owns them. And, you know, so whatever team gets done at 6 o'clock is going to have to scramble in the same way. It's just, it's crazy. I just don't want to see it impact the game, you know?
Yep. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, if people can't make it out, buck92.com, Spock Sports Facebook page, 92.3 FM, be on even AM 830 that day. So all over the state. Good luck to you guys tomorrow. And hopefully we're catching up with you next week, Jake.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My 104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to MyMichiganPodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.